Welcome to another program in our series, Winners for Christ. Have you ever felt at the end of your rope? Have you ever felt that God had let you down? Have you ever felt that you were in the darkest night with no glimmer of dawn? If you have, then I have good news for you. I'll be right back.
God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. This is Winners for Christ with your host and teacher, Father Harold Cohen. And now, here's Father Cohen.
Martha and Mary must have felt that God let them down. In their hearts, they believed in Jesus, but they couldn't understand why he didn't come when they asked him to, when they let him know that Lazarus, whom he loved, was sick. And Lazarus died, and Jesus was not there. They were in the darkest night, with no sight of dawn. And yet Jesus did come through. And this is the second principle in our series of Winners for Christ. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Let's look at the story of the resurrection of Lazarus in Luke 11, starting at verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Isn't that a beautiful message? He whom you love is ill. And we can say that about anyone we know, because the Lord loves any person. The Lord died for every person. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness is not unto death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by means of it. And what Jesus says here about the illness of Lazarus, he can say about every problem, every trial in our life. It's for the glory of God, if we believe. So, Jesus did not go. Finally, after a while, when Lazarus had already died, Jesus went. And in verse 17 we read, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Think of what Mary and Martha were going through those 4 days. Why hadn't Jesus come? He loves us. He loved Lazarus. He healed the sick. He could have saved Lazarus. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary sat in the house. Martha said to Jesus, and I think there's a combination of faith, sort of a gentle complaint here. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And then she speaks sort of beyond herself. And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Then Jesus makes to Martha, after that beautiful profession, he makes this statement. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus is our resurrection. He's more than that, though. He's the one that pulls us through every trial, every temptation, every difficulty, either removing the trial or giving us the strength to get through. Do you believe this? Jesus says to Martha, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Mary came, and she made a similar complaint to the Lord. So finally, Jesus in 38 goes out to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And I believe that Jesus says that to us. Take away the stone. Take away the stone of doubt. Take away the stone of isolation. Take away any stone that blocks my light, the light of Jesus, from coming to you. Take away the stone so that I can act. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." And there's something special about the 4 days. The Jews believed that the soul hovered near the body for something like 3 days or so, something like that. So for Lazarus to be dead now 4 days, he's dead. He's really dead. Jesus said to her, and he says to us, "Did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" This is one of the principles in victorious living. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, we have the overarching text for this series. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the ways of opening ourselves up to the victory is knowing that if we believe in the midst of darkness, that we will see the glory of God. So they took away the stone. The magnetism of Jesus is so apparent here. Who else could command people to take away a stone from the entrance to a grave for a man who had been dead for 4 years? But when Jesus commanded with his authority, people obeyed. And we have to obey. And Jesus lifted his eyes and he prayed to the Father. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And that's what Jesus says to you and me. Bill, come out. Susie, come out. Reggie, come out. Mary, come out. Jesus says, come out of that cave of despair, of darkness, of unbelief. Come out into the light that I am. For I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the light of the world. Come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with bandages, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." An interesting touch. Jesus called the man forth with a great miracle, but he let the community do the finishing touches. When the Lord calls us to life, when he makes us new creatures in him, he wants us to be involved with community, to unbind us, to let us go free. Martha and Mary now saw that Jesus, in delaying the answer, gave them a better answer. God is always on time, and winners for Christ know that. God is always on time. His time and our time often don't coincide. We have one time schedule and God has another. But if we know that God is always on time, they can coincide. Knowing that with the Lord, 1,000 years are as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. God is always on time. Jesus, by not giving them the miracle that they asked for, healing their brother, gave them a much greater miracle, raising him from the dead. And remember Jesus when he was in the garden. He cried out, "Father, if it's possible, take this cup away from me." But the bottom line was, "Not my will, but thine be done." And so the Father did not save Jesus from death, but he raised him out of death. His resurrection, which was a much greater miracle. In Psalm 40, we read, "In your plans for us, there is none to equal you." Our plans for ourselves are minuscule, minor, tiny, compared to God's great plans for us. If we believe, we will see the glory of God. I want to take another story that I really love. It's the story of Elijah, and it's in 1 Kings 19. It's the story of Elijah fleeing the wicked queen Jezebel. And Jezebel can be the symbol of any problem that plagues us, whatever it is. It could be a problem in your marriage. It could be a problem with drugs, with alcoholism, with sexual addiction. It could be a problem with finances. It could be a problem with relationships. It could be a problem with an illness that hangs on. Jezebel may be pursuing us, but if we believe, we will see the glory of God. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. You killed the prophets of Baal, I'm going to kill you by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. The great prophet Elijah was afraid of Jezebel. And we can come under fear. We can come under fear of the Jezebel in our life. You remember that character in Little Abner who always walked under a cloud? Everywhere he went, the cloud followed him. Sometimes we can feel like that. But the Lord wants us, by believing, to break through the cloud and walk on top of the cloud. Another image is when you take a jet, often you leave the airport on a cloudy day. But in the jet power of the Holy Spirit, by believing that you'll see the glory of God, you fly above the clouds and come into the sunshine of God's glory. If you believe, you'll see that glory. He was afraid, and he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life." Elijah, the great prophet Elijah, had it. "Lord, I want to die. That's it." There he is, alone in the desert, pursued by the minions of Jezebel. And he lay down and slept. Thank God he didn't try to take his life. He asked the Lord to take it, but he went down and slept. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there at his head, a cake baked on hot stones in a jar of water. He ate and drank. He lay down again. God had a purpose for him, and maybe God wanted him to get the message the first time, but he went back to sleep. An angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, else the journey will be too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank, and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Horeb is another name for Mount Sinai. And there Elijah, like Moses, had his great encounter with God in the still small voice and the gentle breeze. Elijah was at the lowest point in his life before he came to the highest point. He asked God to take his life, and not long after that, around the corner, so to speak, was awaiting him the highest experience in his whole life, his encounter with God on Mount Sinai. So often, it's the same with us. So often, we're at a very low point. We've had it. We're at the end of our rope, like Martha and Mary were, like Elijah was. And what we need to know that is, if we believe, we will see the glory of God. We need to remember what Paul tells us. All things work together for good for those who love God. Our Father is a loving Father. And the things that He allows to happen to us, He allows for our good, not for our harm. What we have to do is learn to trust in those most difficult, most trying, darkest of times. We have to be open to whatever angel the Lord will send to us, as He sent one to Elijah. We have to be open to the voice of Jesus, to roll away the stone of doubt and open up to the light of Christ. We have to remember that no Jezebel can conquer us if we believe in the Lord. Drugs, alcoholism, sex, worry, anxiety, finances, personal relationships. I can't tell you how God is going to answer, but I know one of two things will happen. God will either remove the problem, or He will give you the strength to go through the problem. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Let's look at the story of the apostles in Luke 5, who fished all night and caught nothing. I think many of us often feel that way. We labor and labor and don't see any results. That could be in apostolic work for the Lord. It could be in our job. It could be working with your children or working with people that you're trying to bring to the Lord or whatever the situation. So often we're faced with failure. And I think of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She says, the Lord doesn't call us to success. He calls us to faithfulness. But with the Lord, there will be success. It may not be the kind of success we're expecting, but with the Lord, there is success. I think of the story of St. Peter Chanel, who went to one of the islands of the Pacific and worked there for, I think, like 2 years, he and a brother. He was a Marist or a Marianist priest, and he worked there and very little success, till finally he converted the son of one of the tribal chieftains, and he was put to death. But after his martyrdom, the whole island was converted. He saw no success or very little success in his lifetime. But God gave success in God's time, and God is always on time. Dearest Father, send the Holy Spirit on us to understand these lessons, that if we believe, we will see the glory of God in your way and in your time. Peter Chanel saw it in heaven. One way or another, we're going to see the great glory of God. Luke 5:1. While the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, and the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And this is a parable in action. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Jesus continues to teach from the bark of Peter. The church continues to do that. And when he had ceased speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. I like to think of a symbolic level of this. Before we can expect the success of the catch, we have to put out into the deep, which means to enter into a deeper and deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. Our first principle in program one was that winners for Christ are in love with Christ. We need to put out into the deep to deepen our relationship with Jesus in prayer, through the Word, through fellowship with committed Christians, through the breaking of the bread, receiving the Eucharist. And Simon answered, Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing. We toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. Peter let him know, Master, this isn't the time or the place, but because you say it, I'll do it. Then in obedience to Jesus, they caught this great net of fish. Perhaps the reason for our lack of success in our labors is that we're not listening to the Lord. We're not in that union with the Lord. When the Lord comes, there will be success. Not necessarily in the way we're looking for it, not necessarily at the time that we're looking for it. But with the Lord, there is success. Because all of our labors are united with the labors with the death and resurrection of Jesus for the salvation of souls. Another story I love to take is the story of David and Goliath. And just as Jezebel could represent an evil or a problem or something that's pursuing you, certainly Goliath can. Goliath was this giant who threatened the armies of Israel. He said, look, let's don't have a battle with the Philistines and the Israelites. Just send out one man and let him have it hand to hand with me. And the Israelites were afraid to accept that challenge because Goliath was a giant. But the least likely of all, David, the young lad, accepted the challenge and got permission from King Saul to accept it. And David gives us a principle of belief in God, which illustrates our principle about winners for Christ. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. This is in 1 Samuel 17, starting at 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. We can say that to our problems, whatever they are. We can say that in the name of the Lord our God, we will conquer you. And again, I want to repeat, I can't tell you how. God will either take the problem away, diminish it, or give you the strength to go through it so that you will be a winner for Christ. God does not want a defeated people. He's given us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and he wants us to walk victoriously. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. The battle is the Lord's. If you're battling, say, with drugs, can't break it, battling with alcoholism, battling with some kind of sexual addiction or some kind of illicit sexual relationship, battling with some of the capital sins, envy, anger, avarice, lust, sloth, pride, battling in a relationship in your family, battling with finances. Those things are like Goliath, but you can slay them in the power of the Lord. When Jesus is with you and you believe, you will see the glory of God. And I wish I could tell you how. I can't. But God will come through. God is always on time, his time. Just as with Martha and Mary, he may not answer in the way you expect. You may pray and pray and see a failure, feel that God let you down as Martha and Mary did, as Elijah did when he was there in the desert. But God doesn't let down. God has his time, and in his plans for us, there is none to equal him. So what we want to do is to continue to have that great faith in the Lord, knowing that what Jesus said to Martha, he says to each one of us, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. I want to go back to our general principle. And this is in 1 Corinthians 15. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if in the midst of all of this you feel very weak, I want to read with you how Paul felt. This is in 2 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 7. Paul had had a great revelation. He had been brought up to the third heaven. And then he says in 2 Corinthians 12:7, and to keep me from being too elated by the abundance of revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I besought the Lord about this, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, or as the Jerusalem Bible translates it, my power is at its best in weakness. At times, we have our thorn in the flesh. For Paul, I believe it was the opposition of his flesh and blood, the Jewish people who constantly were a block or an obstacle to him. And Paul asked for this obstacle but to be taken away. But God said, Paul, your weakness that you experience in facing this obstacle, your weakness is not an obstacle. It's the condition of my working through you. My power is at its best in weakness. And I feel the Lord wants to tell you, if you feel weak, if you feel defeated, if you feel hopeless, remember this. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is at its best in weakness. God can give you the grace to hang in there, working with your children who are away from him, working in a difficult marriage situation, seeking the spiritual and human help that you need to get off of drugs or to come out of alcoholism or some illicit sexual relationship, to conquer your pride, your gluttony, your sloth, your envy, your anger, your jealousy. God can do all of these things. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Dearest Father, we ask you, send your Spirit upon us so that we may see the glory of God. Give us the grace to believe more and more every day in your power, which it is at its best in our weakness. I'd like now to give you this blessing. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, whose Spirit working in you can do infinitely more than you can ask or imagine, make you a winner for Christ. And may he give you the grace to believe that you may see the glory of God. This brings to a close another program in our series, Winners for Christ. We've seen that if you believe, you will see the glory of God. And this series is based on 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In our next program, we'll see that winners for Christ are optimists because they know that all things work together for good for those who love God. See you then.
Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the costs, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not ask for any reward, save that of knowing that we do your will.